115,000 megawatt hours from Taiyi. So if you were to add Ketchikan and Wrangell, those numbers would match your budgeted items that we have. We don't plan extended outages. The submarine cables this year may, if there is a requirement to replace or requirement to remove, may require an outage, but we don't expect it to be too long. The estimates are 10 to 20 days. The outages were probably going to be a lot shorter than that. So we didn't put any of the outages into the model. For the actual models this year, assumptions were that Taiyi does have capacity to provide output. We used two inflow cases, 2013 to 2017 average inflows, and then the 2018 inflow case. And 5-year historical average loads, and we biased it 2% lower due to expected lower fish processing and the shipyard here in Ketchikan. Again, no SEPA extended outages. So here's the output of the models. The Swan Lake Reservoir plot, as you see there. As we move into the end of December and into January, you'll see that Swan Lake is pretty much level, and then it starts to drop off. And this is if we got, this is actually using 2018 inflows. And then it drops off and should reach about 280 there in April, according to this model. If we did receive 2018 inflows and continued through, we would see Swan Lake recover, as we've seen before. But then in that June time frame, if we had 2018 repeat, of course it would drop off again. But this is all predicated on the model, based on what we saw in those load tables that I showed you before, let me go back to them real quick. These right here. What STI, what we produce from Taiyi and sent across the STI, that develops this model here. Otherwise, this would just go down and be done. And so this is the loads that are actually sent across the STI. Notice this right here is a potential gain with modifying the FERC license. So right now, the blue line here is our draft limit that the board approves. That's, at that point, we can't go without board approval. We can't draft Swan Lake below that. This here is what we have approved license to draft to at Swan Lake. And then down here is where the intake gate is. So we have actually significant amount of water in here. We may be able to lower this down and still maintain reserve in Swan Lake for diesel contingency. And that's a huge deal, because in the event we do have a return, which I don't suspect we won't in the next 5 years or 10, then we will be able to draft the lake. And then when we have a year like we just, November even, like we just did, and we're full or close to it, we could capture it because we drafted. So looking at section 6.2, nothing's really changed from June. If we, in the event that we do have to bring in supplemental diesel, it'll follow this path where on the falling curve at 286, start integrating some diesel, 280 full diesel, and then turn it off at 288. The Taiyi Reservoir plot, again, this is based on the megawatt hours that are sent across the STI from that chart that I showed you. And what you have here in this chart is the 2018 inflows is the red dotted line in between the two. And then you have the 2013 to 2017 average. And you see that if we get an average, Taiyi will spill next fall. And draft limit here, intake FERC limit. And on this one, I didn't show the actual power tunnel limit. So I'll show you that here on the next slide. But zooming in closer on this, I tried to make the models send more power south to try and bring this down. we just can't send any more than what we have. We're limited by loads. So if Tyee's maxed out, then Tyee's maxed out. So this is pretty much maxing Tyee out, worst case scenario, and 2018 inflows. So we're selling everything we can out of it. We need it. We all know that. And yet we still are doing, we won't draft it low enough. If we do return it 2018, it won't recover. But if it's a normal year, it'll recover and potentially spill. So we would like to draft it harder. But at this point, we are behind the ball, if you will.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So a couple of questions. The first one I have is we're utilizing our inflows, our rain. We had a wetter, warmer fall in terms of, I don't know if we're getting the snow back. My concern is we're anticipating, you know, that the snowpack is going to deliver X amount of refill to the reservoir, and we're actually getting our snowpack in a liquid form on the front end, which raises our reservoir, but we're tapping it down as we go. Is there a chance we can run into a deficit come, you know, that crucial period where it starts to melt and refill and gets us through to some rain? Is that a possibility? Is your snow pillows giving you any information?
So what you're asking is, and this help, hopefully I understand this, is if the snow doesn't melt and it melts here, then this has got to keep going down. Right here is where the snow melt happens.
Right.
If it doesn't melt here and it melts here a month later, that line has to continue downward.
If you don't have the snow to melt.
If historically, if snow doesn't happen until February, January, March.
Okay, so basically, if you don't have the snow to melt, then you would be worse than 2018, which is unprecedented.
Okay. But
we haven't seen it. So I've got the worst case in history that we know of, and that's here. If the worst case in history does happen, but the snow melts later, then that just moves this down a little bit more. You have that buffer, and this steeper, right? Because now it's going to melt more snow in a shorter amount of time.
Okay.
So that's what that does.
Okay.
So you got a 30-foot buffer, and again, we're going to talk about making that, trying to get this line down even further, where the FERC limit might be able to be lowered at Tyee as well. So yeah, all that would do is move this to the right. So similar to Swan Lake, if catastrophic dry seasons occur and eventually we run out of water, we still have this integrated into the operations plan for Petersburg and Wrangell's supplemental diesel. Balancing Lake section 7.0 of the power sales or the operation plan discusses, you know, how SEPA is required to maximize utilization. We're required to optimize output. We're required to perform both A and B through water management and efficient dispatch. And all these affect sales. So looking at load tables, we do this through load tables. And I mentioned in one of our R&R projects, Styx, this is the load table we load into Styx. And this is how Swan Lake is controlled. Efficiency curves, we've talked about these before. We try and operate Swan in this efficiency zone. I actually yesterday wanted to see how Swan Lake operated at these lake levels and whether it was actually correlated to the models we have. But we brought Swan Lake up to 12.5 right in here, and it actually correlated. We're on this yellow line right now because the yellow line is elevation 317. So we're right about there. And it actually correlated very well with the efficiency curve. So that was kind of nice to know. You know, we were running at Swan Lake at about 11.5 perfect efficiency. I brought it up to 12.5, and I saw that dip in efficiency. So we try and stay in this zone. We're not going to be able to do it all the time because when we go to a point to where loads are such that we require two Swan Lake units, we're going to have to probably be down in here somewhere. But we're going to try and keep it in this zone as long as we possibly can and limit two unit operations unless we're in this zone for both units. And then we won't operate in this zone. That's the rough zone. And I think we've explained that in the past, so I won't go into that. Efficiency curves at Tyee, very much different than Swan Lake due to They're having multiple stages of needle operation. So really tiny units, 2.5 megawatts, all the way up past 10 megawatts. They're really, really efficient. So you got 4 to 6 needle operation. And actually, there's 2 needle operation once you give below 2.5 megawatts. Optimizing output, we've talked about this before. In the event that we do get to a point to where we have to curtail sales out of Taiyi due to drought conditions, we still would utilize the STI and Taiyi output to maximize efficiency at Swan. We'd do this by sending whatever we send south, we'd send back north or vice versa, and operate the Swan Lake unit in the efficiency zone. So that's still the same as last time. Optimizing output, and then we talk about net benefits. Upwards of 10% efficiency gains, 3,600 megawatt hours over 10 months if possible. I've discussed this many times, but again, important to look at it. This, if we're going to be moving into this 20-year period that we talked about, there's volatility where we have, and I'm gonna, this is a good case example, a 96, 108 inches of rain, the very next year 165. We didn't know what to do with the water in the very next year, and then back down to 102. So capturing this water in this year, for this year, would have got us through 1 or 2 years. So that's the importance of the draft. And in fact, if we can lower the draft limit on both lakes and utilize more of that water, because the more you utilize, the more you capture. When you draft it down below the maximum you have, that's instant capacity. If I draft the lake 5 feet, I have instant 5 foot of capacity. But if the next year I'm going to spill, I actually have retained capacity because I didn't spill that 5 feet as well. I used it and then I had room to store more, so I didn't spill it. So it's a double store, and we'll talk about that here in a second. The draft limits right now, prior to 2009, the power sales agreement said there was no, we didn't really have a draft limit at Taiyi, and it wasn't an official Taiyi draft or Swan Lake draft limit, but there was the typical operation of Swan Lake was 280 feet, but there was no official draft limits. After the power sales agreement and operations plan became into effect, Taiyi's draft limit was raised and lowered over the years, and the historical is on your last page in your board packet there of the ops plan. And Swan Lake has been raised over the years as well. So, but for 2020, we don't propose changing the draft limits from the revised 2019. We anticipate a draft limit of 1260 for Taiyi and 280 for Swan. So no change there. But just kind of looking at what we have here, the FERC draft limit at Taiyi is 1250. The intake's 1229. So from 1260 to 1229 is 31 feet. From 1250 is another 20 feet. So there's a lot of potential here that perhaps operating the lake at a lower capacity or lower generating capacity, one unit versus two, for example, might buy us, 20 more feet of lake.
Robert?
Yes, sir.
When you're talking about that 20 feet of lake, though, it's in the bottom of the lake, so the overall storage capacity is much smaller than at 1250 or something.
Well, I'd like to, and that's what the hydraulic study will show. But in general, both Taiyi and Swan Lake are really they're pretty much bowls.
Okay.
So your capacity does go down as you drain. But it's not like if you were to have
wetlands. A fjord.
Yeah, a fjord. They are bowl-shaped, and it is pretty linear on the reduction in capacity as a function of lake level. So it's really pretty easy to calculate.
Good. Thank you.
And then Swan Lake, right now we have a FERC draft limit of 271.5, but the power tunnel is at 255.5.
Chair, Robert?
Yes.
Robert? I was under the impression that there was the potential for damage to equipment with the lower the draft, and I thought that was a part of the draft limit function. How is that calculated? How do you figure that?
So, and this is a lot of things I've heard over since I got here, was reasons why the submarine cables were so large and they're lasting so long because they're so large. Reasons why we don't draft the unit. We're going to vortex the plant possibly and draw air into the units and damage them. These plants were designed, like I said, Swan Lake initially had 267.5 operational limit. And to operate both units at 100%, without vortexing and without sucking air. That's the design criteria. And at 271.5, you still have 30 feet of lake, right? So if I come here and I show you, let me see Swan Lake here. Okay, here's Swan Lake, for example. The 271.5 is there. Intake is at 255. So, and then you still, even though you still have an intake right there, your power tunnel still goes down the mountain another 300 feet. So you're not going to draw air down 300 feet. But that's what the hydraulic study will tell you. So if we do draw down below this FERC limit, can we operate only one unit instead of both units full out?
You don't create a vortex.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. So, the tunnel 2,000 feet and it's descending at 11% rate.
So, I mean, look at Taiz, for example. This is the mountain. This is Taiz Mountain and this is the power tunnel. It actually goes flat and then it goes straight down and then goes flat again. But it angles and then it goes into the power tunnel. And this, so, right now, the 1250 is the FERC limit up here, but the power tunnel really is way down here at 1229. So we might be able to use some of that, especially when we're talking diesel contingency, because we've had this conversation multiple times that trading SEPA hydro for diesel contingency, it's important to the communities, and agreed, it is. But maybe there's another way, and we can actually help SEPA sales at the same time. We can have some of these budget issues relieved a little bit. So we're looking at, and Trey says it all the time, we're looking at all kinds of different ways to maximize efficiencies, use the resources we have to the best of their ability. The R&R program is intended to maintain reliability, because that is as important as having availability. Because if tomorrow fails, then we don't have it. And so that's sales as well. So that's the operations plan in itself. 1260, really at the end of the day, 1260 is the draft limit for what we're proposing for Taiz, and then the 280 for Swan. But we would like to do, as approved in the budget, to do hydraulic analysis on Swan Lake first, and then look into Taiz next on whether or not we can utilize some of that water that we're not using right now.
Any questions? Thank you for that, Robert. We have a motion on the table to accept the operation plan as it was presented. Are there any questions? Hearing and seeing none, would you please call the roll?
I'm sorry.
Nope. Yeah, I just have to formulate my question. So I don't have last year's operation plan in front of me. The Taiz operation plan, is there, I'm sorry, it's been a long day, Robert, but I'm trying to, at the end of the day, is this a more aggressive operations plan, or is it the equivalent to what was proposed previously?
So, when we talk about aggressive operations plan, is we talk about two things really you're voting on right now, is the curtailment guide curve for Taiz. And you're talking about draft limits. So aggressive, as in terms of draft limits, it's the same. Okay. In terms of the curtailment guide curve, it's more aggressive.
More aggressive.
But you are in a higher water year, and so you do not have, we can't draft Taiz fast enough to even reach the curtailment guide curve right now.
Okay.
So if we got no rain, period. If we got 2018 rains, we wouldn't even hit the curtailment guide curve.
Okay. Thank you. I'm working still on, we didn't think it was going to be as bad in 2018 as it was. I mean, without, we didn't see that coming. So, I'm going to go along with it, but again, I'm hopeful that we're going to be hyper responsive if things start to go south on us in terms of inflows, that we're hyper responsive in terms of sales out of Taiyi to the south. I will always be for balancing, but I want us to really keep an eye on so we don't wind up into a deficit out of the reservoir. You know, and I appreciate that you're assuring me that with the way everything looks, we won't. But I want us to be vigilant that if it starts to go south, that we have to revisit that curve and make sure that we're going to revamp it.
So I know everybody feels we got bit in 2018, and we didn't see it coming, and it really hit both the communities because we didn't have available hydro, and it really hurt SEBA because we didn't have sales. We've seen that during the budget, and we didn't anticipate it. And now, built into our operations plan, we responded in 2019 for direction of this forum to be very conservative. And so we were overly conservative. We used in the models 2018 repeating itself when we knew it wouldn't, and then we added 30 feet to that. So what we have here now is using 2018 repeating itself, and consequentially, because of where we are, I can't draft it any harder than Taiyi not having 30 feet at the end of the year. So there's nothing that SEPA could do at this point to even draft Taiyi hard enough to not have 30 feet, even if we only got 2018 levels. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And your assumption is that your refill will bring you up and you can potentially spill because you don't have the capacity on the other side, right? The other side of the dip. When you start your upward slope, what you want to be is way down here playing that edge. Yeah. And then the rains come and you fill up and you got all this room to fill up. And that's assuming the rains come. And so I guess I'm just going to say it, I'm still nervous. But I'm hopeful that if we've got these things in place and we're watching, and you know, I don't want to let water spill either, and I want to make sure that we're maximizing our revenues. But I also don't want to be surprised again. And maybe you weren't surprised, but we were surprised. So
I just want to make this one last comment is. If we didn't draft in the year prior, and we didn't draft in 2018, we'd be having this conversation about budget last year, and it had been for 2 years instead of one, because we would have spilled 2017 because we wouldn't have drafted. So it's really important to draft as much as we can. There's inherent risk in doing so, but it's absolutely a model that this agency is required to follow, and we still are putting that contingency into that model, and that it's absolutely in there. Expecting a 2018 return is over conservative at this point, when everyone's pointing towards, you know, that we have warmer, wetter conditions.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Who compels us to draft in this manner? You say we are compelled to draft in this manner. Who is compelling us to draft in this manner?
I take it by what our governing documents say in regards to SEPA's responsibility to provide power to the communities is what you're talking about.
It'll help me, but isn't that the term maximum utilization? To maximize utilization of the...
If I may, we had this conversation a little bit in the fact that how you view the resource and how the communities view the resource is just a little bit different. We all want the best for each of us, but we look at the fact that we don't want to be run short and into a diesel run hydro shortage, I think. And, of course, you guys don't want to run long and not sell water, right? So we have a little bit of collision in regards to that, but we did change the draft levels, and what Steve is, and I think it's okay to be, I think, leery and question this, and I think we'll have the conversation, I hope, a lot sooner on if something starts to change dramatically in the weather. But like he says, he has a concern about snowpack, where we're at with that, if we're in the norm, if we're, you know, that kind of stuff. And so those are, I guess the draft limit is, it's a living document. It's going to change according to the weather that we're going to run into. We don't know what that is. It's all a projection.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I still will come back to you that we, Wrangell, I'll just speak for Wrangell, are living to the belief that our firm power requirements are to be met by hydro through CAI. And that maybe this is a discussion we have to have at some point with the board. But if the operations of the project are being done by maximizing sales, and the belief is that it is all right if the North End has some displaced diesel because we're maximizing this resource. And again, I will speak for just Wrangell, that is not how we envision it. And I know that Trey and I have had this conversation before it would be, you know, it's great for SEPA, it's not great for Wrangell. If we're doing a diesel run because we can't have the hydro needs met because it's been sold. So, and I always come back to this. Prior to the Intertie, there was never a question about meeting firm power requirements. It was always there. It was spilling. We had so much water. After the Intertie, it has become an issue, and that's why we weren't worried about limits because we were never getting there, right? That was why we didn't have a first limit. So that's, we can carry this question on later. I just don't want us to lose sight of that community need for the, and again, for Wrangell, our belief that we should have our needs met whenever possible, and there's always going to be something potentially that would change that, but through IE Hydro.
Mr. Chair, can I? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Carl.
I understand the concerns of Wrangell, and I know this is a very sensitive topic for everyone. But I think this board gave collective direction to the staff, and they've come back with an operations plan, at least to my satisfaction, I think meets the concern. And you know, I understand local communities, but I said this a year ago, that it's more than just a fiduciary responsibility to sell water and have SEPA make a profit. We're here to be looking at the future, and sometime we all are going to hope that loads grow and we're going to be able to invest in new projects, and we've got to have the resources to do it. That's all I'm saying. I feel good about the ops plan, and I think the direction was given last year, and I think staff followed through, and that's it.
Do you mind if I make a comment, Steve?
Yeah, please.
So one of the things about prior to the STI was that we never did have shortage of water at TAI. But we also didn't have any way to bond or invest in the submarine cables either. So there was a large asset there that had a lot of risk to it. And so what the STI has done is really helped our bonding capacity and the ability to maintain and actually replace those things. So it's a huge benefit to Wrangell, I think many don't see. But in order to use that, the STI to its potential, and we're actually, as I mentioned before, we are very blessed, if you will, that the STI didn't cost us very much at all. And so that's a huge, huge benefit, because if we had a $130 million bond for that as well, that'd be another story. But we utilize that, and yeah.
Thank you. Joel, did you have something you wanted to add?
Unless someone has a question, I don't need to.
Okay. So the op plan's in front of you. I think that we're going to be conservative. If something goes south, we'll have a special meeting and we'll talk about it. And we'll make those decisions at the time that there's something that arises. Any other questions? Hearing and seeing none, please call the roll.
Severson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysunka?
Yes.
Camelon?
Yes.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break.
Thank you, Robert. One break.